the earth. To be called as members of such a distinguished body is both an honor and a privilege. I'm going to stop there. I hope you have something to write with. Underline those words, honor and privilege, for you and I to be a believer in Jesus Christ and to be a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the head of. Question. The strength and influence of the church is in what? Their commitment. Their commitment. And what is commitment? Commitment is dedication. It's allegiance. Do you have that? Are you willing to make that commitment? So salvation is what? Salvation is a commitment to the Word of God and to the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ that are in His Word. Their commitment to keep the principles. Underline the word principles of God. The principles of God are defined as the truths of God. And the truths of God are found in the Word. So their commitment, dedication, loyalty, allegiance to keep the truths, the principles of God's Word, shine the light of the gospel into the darkness, live as salt in an unsavory, the word unsavory means a disagreeable and unpleasant world. And demonstrate, underline that word demonstrate, is a lifestyle to be lived. How many of you would say you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Would you raise your hand? Are you to keep that salvation inside you, or is that salvation to be lived out on the outside? It is to be lived out on the outside. So Christianity is a lifestyle to keep the principles of God, the truths of God's Word. Shine the light of the gospel into the darkness. They live gladly with spiritual authority in the happiness of God as salt. In an unsavory, a disagreeable, and unpleasant world, and they demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. The word filled means be controlled, be divinely enabled, be divinely empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let's look at point one. Point one, number one. God has called, there's that word called again, the church, that is a body of together. Now, stop there and take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I have people tell me quite often, Terry, I can worship at home. That's not what the Bible says. I can worship on the lake in a boat. That's not what the Bible says. I don't have to come to church. The Bible says you do come to church. And there's a good reason for you coming to church and me being here. If you don't come to church, do you feel that encouragement that you feel when you do come to church? If you haven't been to church in a long time and the doctor says you have cancer, you're not going to live very long. How are you going to feel at that moment? If you're involving having an intimate fellowship with a believer in the local body that you attend, when the doctor tells you that, I know it's going to knock you down a notch or two, but what are you going to be glad of? That you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that you attend church. Why is that so important? Because you're going to know that your prayer is going to be prayed for you. The power of God is going to what? Go to work into your life. And the power of God is going to lift you. The power of God is going to make you feel that you can triumph in this particular situation. So it is very important that you and I gather together on Sunday morning, that we may come together. We're going to pray with other believers. And I promise you, when you pray with other believers, you are going to be so encouraged and so infused with the power of Almighty God that you're going to walk away from those believers that love you so much, and you're going to feel, you know what? I have a fighting chance here. I have the power of God available to me. And I have the power of God working for me. And I have the prayers of the people of this church that are working for me. And they are praying for me. And my name is being placed at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father day in and day out. That's what it means to be a child of God that loves to come to the house of God and be infused with the encouragement that comes from believers, like believers, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope. Underline that word hope. I don't really like it, because when you and I talk about hope, it's what? A question mark. I hope it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. When you talk about Christianity, it's not hope. It is assurance. It is blessed assurance, because it's coming from the Word of the living God. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our blessed assurance without wavering. I have no doubt about it. I am fully confident, for I have His Word and I have Him. For He who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to His Word. Is it important that you have a Bible? Is it important that you learn to read the Word of God? Is it important that you learn how to be instructed in the Word of God and sit under instruction, the teaching of the Holy Spirit? Do we need understanding of the Word of God? Do we need to be taught the Word of God? Do we need to have a Bible in our hands so the Holy Spirit can place it in our mind and in our hearts? What's your answer to that one? Thank you very much. Verse 24, and let us consider, think about it thoughtfully, how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. 25, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Five things I want to share with you don't have. Number one, fellowship with God must never become singular and selfish. Fellowship with God must never become singular and selfish. God didn't save you to stay at home and lock the doors and sit in there as a child of God all by yourself. God never meant for you to be selfish as a child of God. He has blessed you. Take what He has blessed you and share it with others around you. That's what He's talking about here. Number two, we must fellowship in an intimate way with other Christians. It's not, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. What is fellowship? Fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia is intimacy with one another. Listen, when we are intimate with one another, you're going to pray a whole lot different. You're going to pray a very instructive prayer. You're going to pray a very deep prayer. You're going to pray knowing you have the power of God available. And you're going to pray with expectancy. Why? Because you have an intimate fellowship. It's not just somebody with a body. It's not somebody with a head and arms and legs. It is somebody that means something to you in a very, very agape, unconditional, loving way. And therefore, when you pray, brother, you will pray in a way you've never prayed before for somebody else. All right, here we go. Number three, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If you're a true child of God and you have the saving faith of God in you, then the saving faith of God in you does not walk you backwards. The saving faith of God in you is going to push you forward in your Christianity. So the saving faith of God, if you've really got it and are really saved, is going to push you to assemble with your brother and sister in the name of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, do we need to come together? We can't help but come together. We've got to come together. And in the days and things that are happening, and you know what I'm talking about, you listen to it on TV a whole lot, it's really, really, sloppy. It's really scary to a point. Now, am I scared? No. Why? Because God is in charge of everything all the time. No matter what the progressive left has to say, God is in charge and in control. And let me tell you something. The world is not going to end in 10 or 12 years. If it happens to do so, it will be because God had decided for that to happen. They cannot predict the end of time we are in. They are not God. They are not little gods. They are not all-knowing. Only God knows that, and He ain't saying nothing yet. Okay. Now, here's another point. Four. Do you come to church to get and not contribute? What did we just read? They come to church to encourage one another to love and of good works. Please listen. The old sin nature is capable of producing human good in you. The good works here don't come from the old sin nature. They come from the yielded believer that has yielded to the word and the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in him. Good works is what is produced by God and not by us, okay? Now, the emphasis here is what you contribute to this assembly. Did we not read that? Okay, thank you. Number five, why is faithfulness in church attendance so important? It encourages others. It provokes them to love and good works, as I've already said. Good works produced by the Holy Spirit. Again, you can write Ephesians 5:18 there if you wish. Now let's go back to the printout. Point one. God has called the church, the body of individuals, to assemble together. If you don't, that's sin in your life. You understand that? If you don't want to assemble, when He just told you to assemble, how do you take it? As an act of flat-out rebellion. I don't want to do what Christ asked me to do. Okay, here we go. God has called the church body of individuals to assemble together and further whose kingdom? His kingdom. How is His kingdom furthered? By His word. By His word and His power through the submitted believer. His kingdom in the hearts of people and in every arena of life. Now, I like that. I'm serious about it. But in listening and studying a little more, AI. How many of you know what AI is? It's an artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is really stepping up and being noticed. It is something that we're going to have to deal with and probably teach on for just a little bit. All right? Look at the church in Ephesus. The most renowned of all the New Testament churches. God had called. Underline the word called if it's not underlined already. God had called. Please add this. God had called, not the pulpit committee. God had called, not the pulpit committee, this pastor. I've heard a pulpit committee say, we call so and so. You don't call nobody. Amen. You get on your knees and you pray for God to send you who He wants to be your pastor at the appropriate time to lay down another layer of ministry when I leave here. It's not this is who we want. It's who God wants to send here. And you've got to pray, and you've got to pray, and you must pray. God, send us who you want to be here as our next pastor. Here we go. God had called this pastor to lead with courage and to lead with confidence. Don't you get some wuss up here after I leave that has no courage and has no confidence and is going to bow down to the progressive left. You have somebody that will stand up here in holy boldness knowing he's in the right hand of Almighty God. You understand that? In the right hand. And let me tell you something. You're in the same grip. That is a grip of God that nobody can take you out of. And if you don't believe that, you can't live the Christian life and you can't stand up and teach the Word of God with any spunk whatsoever. Here we go. God had called this pastor to lead with courage and confidence, this prestigious and honored group of believers. Look at the word prestigious and honored. Brother, you're there. God sees you as such, and God's still looking at us. Are we perfectly prestigious? No. Perfect honor? No. He is working on us, progressive sanctification, making us more like Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? We're not only the body of Christ, we are the bride of Christ. And one day, we are going to be presented to Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ Himself. Prestigious and honored group of believers whom God had delivered. Underline the word delivered, please. I got a question for you. Is this deliverance still fresh in your life? Is your deliverance out of spiritual darkness still fresh in your life? Is your salvation still fresh? Do you still have the love for Jesus Christ you had at the beginning? We'll read about that in the church of Ephesus. That's your call. Look at the bottom of the page. Write this. Chapter 2, verse 1. It's not there, but write it there so you'll know what you're reading. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the pastor, the human messenger, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Do you see that word holdeth? Very important word, all right? Very important word. Turn to page 2, keeping that in mind. Question at the top of page 2. Number 2. Is this a restatement of Revelation 1:16 where John wrote that the exalted Christ whom he saw in his vision had in his Christ's right hand seven stars? The answer is no. Did you read verse 16, chapter 1, and then you read chapter 2, verse 1 and wondered, Lord, are you repeating yourself or are you like Joe Biden? Have you forgotten what you said? Or did you tell him to write this down? Is it a mistake? Oh, no, no, no. Please listen very closely. Below 2, when this truth is repeated in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, John uses a different Greek verb that makes this statement much stronger than the first. Oh, let's look at the word had. This word in Revelation 1:16. What did we just read? Verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. It says, Jesus what? Had. Had. Right? Okay, you might want to underline that word in your Bible. Jesus had. Now listen to this. The word had is echo in the Greek, which means to hold in one's firm grasp, implying Christ's ownership of the seven pastors. Who owns me? Jesus Christ. Not the denomination. I've had some people say when I was at a church, I got there and I knew their reputation and they wanted to meet with me real quick. We had a meeting with this little group. They came in there with a first grade writing thing. You know, it's like a big notebook about this long, about like that, spiral on the back. She began to unfold it, and I could see things numbered, and she said, this is what we want you to do. And if you do this, we'll put money in your account. Well, you have to understand, I still have some meanness in me. Number one, I told her, it ain't gonna happen. Number two, don't put any money in my account, okay? Because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when I've had some people say, well, I was here before you got here and I'll be here when you're gone. Maybe.
Maybe not.
I may do your funeral.
Yep.
Pay attention as you have been so well. Can we go back to the printout? So when this truth is repeated, In Revelation 2:1, I'm backing up a little bit, get us back. John uses a different Greek verb that makes his statement much stronger than the first. Why is this important? Because you need to be careful what you read. And you need to pay attention to every word that you read. If they're different, why are they different? Let's look at this. Look at the word had. This word in Revelation 1:16, had is echo, which means to hold in one's firm grasp, implying Christ's ownership of the seven pastors. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, the word holdeth, it didn't say he had, it says he holdeth. So we got a change here. Holdeth is kratos. Kratos. And kratos in the Greek equals power. In the context of this verse, the word kratos means to have power over, to hold fast, or to have a masterful grip on. Here's a little note. Nothing can take the pastor out of God's hand, and that produces spiritual boldness in the pulpit to preach the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you're in the hands of God, you tell me what can take you out of His hands. Then why do you fear and why do you fret? Why do you say, I hope so-and-so doesn't get elected the next president? Let me tell you something. God put Trump in and kept Hillary out. There is no doubt. What he will do this next time, I don't know, and I ain't worried about it. You'll say, Terry? No, don't say Terry. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. And brother, I do not know his full agenda, but it is getting carried out right now. And the next president won't be by accident. It will be there to further his agenda. When you and I will think, oh my gosh, we've had it. It probably will be interesting. Thus, this word kratos expresses the fact that Christ masterfully, underline the word masterfully. Masterfully, when you look it up, is a powerful way. Christ holds us in a powerful way. And remember again that He is all powerful. So the message to the God called pastor is stand firm. Why is He giving us these words? Why is He saying these words to the pastor of the church? I'll tell you why. Because spiritual darkness is hell. And it'll get right up in your face. It doesn't care. And spiritual darkness will do anything it wants to do as long as you allow it to do it. To get by with it. Brother, it's here. It's going to get worse. And just thinking the Word of God is not enough. You got to speak it as Jesus spoke it in the wilderness when confronted by Satan. Baptist, listen of the adversity and the trial and the testing that's going on in your life. You've got to learn to speak right in the face of it the Word of God as Jesus did. Why did He do that? He could have snapped his finger and been done with all of it. All he had to do was think, and he would have shut Satan down. No, he spoke it, giving us an example of what to do when we encounter demonic things. Back to the printout. Christ masterfully held the seven pastors in His mighty grip. They, the pastors, were under His control and were constantly in the grip of His what? Authority. I'm going to tell you something. Some pastors are going to run out of the pulpit. I'm sorry. I know I'm not sorry. Some preachers are going to run out of here and they're going to leave their sheep to the slaughter. You know why? You got you a hireling, not a God-called man. Your God-called man's going to stand up here and be your under-shepherd. And he's going to lead and he's going to feed. And you know what? He'll be David when it's time for somebody to go out and face Goliath. He'll be the man that goes out and goes forward and says, let's get it on. If I have to come out of retirement, call me. Down the road. I hope in years down the road. They were under His control, the pastors, and were constantly in the grip of His authority. If Jesus Christ is God, is there another authority higher than Him? The answer is no. You're in His hand. You're in His authority, His control, His power. And that's why you stand and you can go where it's a dark room and turn on the light and expel the darkness. You'll have that courage. Being that Jesus Christ holds the pastor of the church in His right hand, I'm going to tell you, every pulpit committee needs to hear this and every church needs to hear this, because there's too many churches in an uproar and don't even exist anymore because they did not understand this. Being that Jesus Christ holds the pastor of the church in His right hand means the pastor is answerable and accountable to the head of the church who controls him, Jesus Christ. The pastor is responsible for delivering His, that's Jesus Christ's message. So it really burns me up when somebody says, "Do you preach just feel good messages?" I ain't gonna tell you what I'd like to say. The answer is no. But I will share this with you from Genesis to Revelation. It's all a feel good message because it's the Word of God.
Amen.
What you're telling me is you don't want to hear everything that God put in His Word. So don't tell me God told you that you just want to hear feel-good messages. Well, I'll be honest with you. You need to go on down the road and find you another church. Terry was called to preach all the Bible, and that's what's going to happen. Here we go. Now, the pastor responsible for delivering His, Jesus Christ's message, and here's the message of Jesus Christ, the Bible, to the church. Now, what's the message? Number one, the message is to understand God's plan. Number two, the message that God's truth will triumph. And what else do you need to know? The pastor is Christ's possession. Therefore, Jesus has the right to direct him, to correct him, and instruct him. The pastor is a messenger of God through whom the head of the church, that's Jesus Christ, speaks. Are you telling me that it's not about me impressing you with these highfalutin words? Or me standing up here, not filled with myself, but filled with God, and letting God speak to you? That's what I pray every Sunday morning. God, I pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I'm not filled with Terry Davis. So when I get up here to stand, when I get up here to speak, you say what you want to say. You know the hearts that are here. You know who's saved and you know who's lost. Lord, you give it to them. And so when somebody says, "I didn't like that this morning," I said, "Well, you take it up with God." I haven't had that yet. Sorry. So Jesus holds the pastor accountable for accurately delivering the message He was about to dictate to them. It is important to point out that these seven pastors were in the right hand of Christ, not in the hands of a board of deacons or a pulpit committee. Now I want you to listen closely. Both a board of deacons or a pulpit committee, they're important. I understand that. And please listen, I'm not downing them. Both of these are important. It is vital for systems of accountability to be developed biblically and set in place in each local church. But the pastor is called, and this calling is an act of God by Jesus Christ, and is first and foremost answerable to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for guarding us from our stupidity and acting like we are one of the Pharisees and the scribes. We'll run the show. We don't run nothing. We get on our knees to receive instruction from You. Direction. Empowerment. And thank You that this church does assemble. Thank You that this church does love. And thank You that this church prays for the Holy Spirit to produce God's good works. Help us to become stronger in these things You have asked of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.